From WUOT News, this is The Method. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In 1970, filmgoers got a taste of the dark side of the burgeoning field of computer technology. In Colossus, the Forbin Project, a supercomputer gains sentience and turns on its creators, as well as the rest of humanity.
In time, you will come to regard me not only with respect and awe, but with love.
Never.
The novel on which the movie was based was set in the 1990s, but today's reality of supercomputing is far different than the one that posited human subjugation to computers. The world's third most powerful supercomputer is located in Oak Ridge, and though it bears the imposing name Titan, its goals and capabilities are more quotidian than dystopian. Today on The Method, a look at what Titan is and what it does. First up, a conversation with Jack Wells. He's the director of science for the National Center for Computational Sciences. We spoke on a viewing platform that overlooks the banks of computing modules that make up Titan. As we talk about Titan, it's often described supercomputer singular. But, you know, I look through there and I see banks and banks of machines. So at its most basic level, how do you define Titan as an organism, as a machine?
Titan is a network of workstations, if you will, that are tightly coupled by a high-performance network so that when appropriate software is written for it, it can work as one machine, even though it is representative of tens of thousands of nodes on the network.
Is it possible to use the computer in segments, not every single one machine, but certain blocks of it are working on this thing and certain blocks are working on a different thing?
Yes. Typically, there's maybe 36 jobs that are executing at any one time. It really depends on the mix of jobs. We organize the machine so that when there is a very large job to run, we make room for it. And then the other smaller jobs would backfill around the large job.
This computer is using numbers, mathematics, in order to model, in some cases, very complex things, like the way molecules behave or the way energy propagates in a nuclear reactor. Tell us how Titan does that.
There's a whole field of science called numerical analysis, where the equations of science is translated into math. Whole subfields of computer science are organized around that theme. So if you can solve an equation with pencil and paper, one would do that. But for the complexity of the real world, we most often need computing to solve those problems. And Titan is used for a wide array of science areas, from material science to chemistry and biology, aspects of engineering. It's a very flexible device.
Well, my final question for you is about the realm of science fiction, actually. It comes from a novel called Colossus, the Forbin Project. I know that we're getting closer to getting supercomputers that can at least, in a rudimentary sort of sense, replicate learning abilities that a human might have. But something that hits my mind is that we don't fully understand cognitive processes in the human brain itself. And therefore, it might be kind of hard to program a computer to think like a human because we don't fully understand how humans think. What is the work that's going on at Titan and maybe other supercomputers around the world to replicate functions of the human brain?
This is a very hot topic. Of course, it's been going on for decades, this idea of artificial intelligence. Most of that work is not of a maturity or a scale that it would make effective use of a computer of this size. There are machine learning algorithms that are being developed in the business world today. The emphasis there is not to mimic the brain. The idea is to say, oh, we have these algorithms, and if we execute the algorithms, we can effectively have a machine learn. The areas that are making rapid progress today are centered around large data sets. Could be images, text data, but the data set is so large that a human or even teams of humans won't be able to read and synthesize all of the information. The things we're trying to extract from the data have a pattern, they are regular, and they can be learned by a machine.
Well, Jack Wells is the Director of Science for the National Center for Computational Sciences at Oak Ridge National Laboratory. Dr. Wells, thank you so much for being with us today on The Method. In that last part of our conversation, Dr. Wells described the current work on teaching computers to digest lots of information and look for patterns, similar to the way we humans do. A team at Oak Ridge National Lab, led by Giorgia Taurasi, is now harnessing the power of the Titan supercomputer to do exactly that, specifically toward cancer research. WUOT's Megan Jamerson has more on that, and she says teaching a supercomputer to learn is a tricky concept.
So let's say I'm looking at hundreds and thousands of YouTube videos.
That's Arvind Ramnathan. He's a staff scientist and member of Taurasi's team.
All I want to do is look at cats. How do I extract cats? So in this case, all the input that is given to this box, in some sense, is YouTube videos. And out it spits the cats that are present in that video. So in that sense, it is a bunch of different approaches that people have built to mimic some of the ways in which probably the human brain also behaves.
Ramnathan says you have to think of the algorithms like neurons in the brain that connect to each other in networks, but on an extremely large scale.
Then you allow the computer to train how to make those connections, which connections are important, which connections are not important, and then tell it to basically identify what you're interested in. So this interest can be picking up cats from YouTube videos, or it can be things like extracting clinical phenotypes from pathology reports.
The research team trained Titan with nearly 2,000 medical reports related to the diagnosis and treatment of cancer. The goal is to automate the process of identifying valuable information that can be pulled and added to nationwide registries managed by the National Cancer Institute.
In spite of having so much of work being done on cancer research, it is still hard to figure out how treatments are working or not working for the common patient.
Only about 3-5% of the cancer population is represented in these registries. That's mostly because millions of reports are generated each year. It's way too much data processed by relatively few people.
Understanding complex pathology reports can be tedious for even the best trained persons. So what we want is to enable these physicians to understand these text files very quickly.
Now that Titan has been trained, the ORNL research team is adding environmental and socioeconomic data and census reports to understand a bigger picture around cancer.
We are building the infrastructure to get to a point where we can be looking at patients and trying to understand their individualistic trajectories.
And humans have not completely been worked out of the equation.
We are building visualization tools on top of them and trying to build tools that enable even the common users to interact with this sort of complex data. So in some sense, we are keeping the human in the loop and allowing them to interact with us so that we understand how to better our algorithms.
The next stages for the ORNL team will be preparing their program for the next generation of supercomputer that is even more powerful than Titan. For The Method, I'm Megan Jamerson.
That's it for this edition of The Method. Remember to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes U. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth.